My heart really rejoiced in the song we sang, How Great Thou Art. And also with that song, I don't know the name of it, but Free at Last. How many know one of the real purposes of music? One of the great purposes of music. Think about the song, How Great Thou Art. Think about the fact that God has set us free from that which has bound us up. It creates within us, or it ought to, a state of awe. There's something interesting about awe. Do you know that scientists have actually studied it? Atheists hate it, because what science tells us is very simple. They put the MRIs and do all those little tests and so forth on people who have moments of awe. And they have found that basically what it does, it takes them out of themselves and puts all their attention upon something greater than them. That, by the way, is worship. And of course, scientists, they want to figure out, how in the world did that come about? I have the answer. God. God made us that way. Interesting, amen? 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 down to verse number 10. Notice what it says. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Let's take time to explain something about the third heaven. That means there's two others. In the beginning, God created the what? Heavens and earth. Heavens is referring to the atmosphere that you and I live in. The second heaven we would describe as outer space. The third heaven is the abode of God, though God be everywhere. Okay? He says, I knew such a man, verse 3, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. The Apostle Paul said, God has done marvelous things in and through me, but so that I will not boast of those things, so I will not think I am somebody special, God's allowed a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what that was. Many believe it was his eyesight. Verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, notice this answer, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I what, brethren? Weakness is strength. Sounds like a contradictory statement, but we understand what he says here. He says, I'm become a fool in glory, and ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be what? Nothing. What's the Lord trying to teach us in this particular text? Well, let's see if we can figure out a few things. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We have the privilege to come unto you. Thank you for the marvelous music. Lord, we can lift our voices together and with such enthusiasm. And Lord God, that we might be able to be a people who constantly stand in awe of you. Somehow, we think that's what heaven is really going to be. As the focus is not anywhere near us, thoughts are not anywhere around ourselves, but around the throne of grace. May that be true in this hour, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. God created us in the beginning with bodies that would live forever. He made us in perfection, but we find that sin ruined it all. Still, we can look at and see the magnificence of God in these created bodies. Even in this body of mine, it is so broken down, yet there's some magnificent things that take place. I remember when I was a boy, I was told that we had two organs that had become useless over long periods of time. However, as usual, when men began to depart from the Word of God, they became fools. For we have since learned that the appendix, which was considered useless, we know now that it is a safe house for bacteria that is useful in digestion. Just to put it in simple terms, if you have a bowel of diarrhea, the appendix repopulates the intestine with bacteria. It's how you digest your food. Useless? Far from it. When I was 3 years of age, I had my tonsils removed because they were infected, and doctors said, well, they weren't of any value. Let's get rid of them. But now they have learned that tonsils actually remove infections that try to enter the body. And when there are so many that try to enter the body, many times the tonsils themselves will become infected. Did you know you had an ear muscle? Huh? Did you know that? Try to flex it. It won't work. But there are what they call an outer ear muscle. And though we can't consciously move them, there's something interesting about them. They respond to sudden sounds that alert us as to the direction from which it is coming. Now, not all of you in this room have this, but 85% of you have a muscle right here. It's called the primaris longus muscle. Longus, not longest, longus. U-S on the end. Somebody named it that. I don't know who or why. And because 15% of the people don't have them, evolutionists believe that it's a leftover from when our ancestors knuckle walked. But those without it have a more difficult time flexing their wrist as a result of it. The tailbone has often been thought to be a leftover from apes. I remember hearing not too awful long ago, somebody, I don't remember who it was, and they'd probably be embarrassed if I said so, what do we have a tailbone for? Well, it has a use. It actually is an anchor of many important muscles, including, did you realize this, a net of muscles that hold our organs in place. It has a purpose. Don't try to wag it. How many ever get the goosebumps? They're interesting little formations. But they come about because tiny muscles contract and they actually pull what little hairs you have there upward. They also, when that takes place, draw oil to the skin in cold weather, which will help to warm it. And when there's a danger around, it gives us a greater sensitivity to it. The psalmist, I don't know if he thought about all of these things, but as he thought about that which God had revealed to him, said this through inspiration, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." What I really need to understand is that though we're all human beings, and we all have these similar parts, yet each of us is different. We are diverse one from another. Some of you in this room have black hair. Some of you in this room have red hair. Some of you are blonde. And most of the women, we have no idea. Only your hairdresser knows for sure. But God made diversity, I believe, to elevate our thoughts of His greatness. Because we're different doesn't mean we are better than somebody else. It's not to elevate us, but it's to elevate our minds toward Him. With that in mind, consider that diversity is not sin, but God's marvelous creative ability. He's made us humans all different for a reason. That is, that it might point towards Him. But what do? We use it to fight and argue amongst ourselves. He has made each one of us different. And those who lack certain talents have other abilities. It doesn't make you worth more because you can play football or you can't play the piano or you can do this and you can't do that. Every person God has given worth to. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that He paid the ultimate price for all men. As He went to the cross and died for you and for me. And though we have differences, it ought not to elevate our own minds. What should it do? Elevate our minds to God instead. We need to know that God has placed many different kinds of people, by the way, in a local church. You folks have different talents and different abilities for the express purpose of being a blessing to others in the way that God has made them. If you turn back a chapter, or excuse me, a book actually, 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, notice what it says. In verse number 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit of God, "He makes Himself known," all right? "That manifestation is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." Does that mean nobody else has wisdom? No, God gives special wisdom to certain people. "To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." And because we have different abilities and different talents, doesn't make us better. It makes us more accountable to God to use what God has given us. To another, he says, by the another faith, by the same Spirit. How do you get saved? "For by grace are you saved through..." That's the only way of salvation. And yet God says the Spirit of God has given this talent of faith. In other words, there are certain people that seems to be able to believe better than others. What should that do for you and for me? It'll help us to develop a greater belief system. Those who have wisdom ought to help us develop in our wisdom to make the right choices. To another, he says, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of these tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, listen to this, severally as he will. What you are is the way God wanted you. One of the toughest things for teenagers to accept is how God made them. And they look at themselves and they think, I'm weird, I'm different. Praise God, yes. There's no two alike. Be thankful for it and realize that God has made you a unique person, but you're unique within a group that it might be of help to each other. We need each other. Desperately. God has done that within the walls of our church. We need to know that struggles will strengthen us. God's made us very unique. But when we have certain things about us that need strengthening, there is a struggle that must take place. When I was a little boy, I had what they called then a wandering eye. I don't know what you call it. It just like to do its own thing. And so the doctor recommended that Mom would take me into a room and shut the lights out and take a flashlight and just shine it and let me follow it, that I might get both eyes focused on it. Matter of fact, it wasn't but a few times doing that that wandering or lazy eye disappeared. Now, those kinds of things are hard, but it's worthwhile, and surrender is not an option. Yeah, we're going to have struggles in life. But you don't become a better athlete by sitting on the bench, nor do you become a better athlete by winning all the time. Sometimes it's good to lose a ball game. Sometimes it's good not to get the certificate of participation. Isn't that a bunch of bunk? You were supposed to say amen. I'm getting towards something, and here we're beginning to see it. We have weaknesses, and we have struggles. They are to strengthen us. Our weaknesses then can become our strengths. Here's an interesting thought. Within the population of our young people, there is about 30% of them who are dyslexic. You show them A, B, and they'll read B, A. They see it backwards. And they have to teach themselves to see it in the right direction, and a manipulation of the mind. We had a young lady at our school, not only had dyslexia from one side to the other, but upside down. But had to overcome that. But there's something interesting about a dyslexic child. They're more likely to become successful business people because they can see the whole picture and learn to adjust the small stuff. You see, our weaknesses can become our strengths. Those areas that you and I have dealt with in our lives can be that which in the end is our strength. What did he say in the scripture? When I am weak, then am I strong. The Apostle Paul had a weakness, and he went to the Lord about it. We don't know what it was, but he prayed, and God said, my grace is sufficient. And what Paul learned from that, and as we read the scripture, he learned that, yes, his grace is sufficient, for it makes my weaknesses strong. When I'm weak, then am I strong. Think about humility for a second. Humility isn't denying your strengths, but being honest about your weaknesses. All of us have them. Christians who understand this can be ministers to others. Many times I've heard people say, well, if you want somebody to deal with a drug addict, you must have somebody who has been a drug addict. That's not necessarily so. It needs to be somebody who recognizes their own weaknesses that they can minister to others. And I would just say to our young people especially, be yourself. Dogs can't bark. Excuse me. My statement here says cats can't bark, but they can purr. Preachers can make a lot of mistakes, but they still got to live with it. We need not compare ourselves with others, but be all that we can be. My grace is sufficient. How we need to get that into our soul. His grace is sufficient. Amen. Now consider this morning. The only way to salvation is when we recognize our weakness, that we may call upon the strength of God. What is our weakness? Our weakness is our sin. What is His strength? The ability to overcome the wages of that very sin, which is death. And you and I, if we're going to be saved, if you and I are going to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and head to the place we call heaven and be with Him for all of eternity, we must recognize that we are weak. One of the neat things about getting old, and honestly, this is a neat thing, you can't do what you used to do. You got to ask for help in areas where you didn't used to ask help for. Yeah. And older folks begin to realize their weaknesses. Oh, we're stubborn. We don't want to admit it. I realize that. Say amen, Martha. That old German blood. Amen. By the way, that's why she's still up. But we have weaknesses. And what does that do? It makes us better individuals because we realize we need God more than ever before. I know as I stand before you right now, the only reason I stand here is God. Why He allowed me to survive last year, I haven't the foggiest idea. I guess He's not done with me here yet. And every day I must ask God for His strength in order to do the job, whatever it is He wants me to do. When I'm weak, then I can have the strength of Almighty God. The Apostle Paul, he came to him and he said, actually with a speech that was not very good. He was not an orator. He was not like an Apollos. But he had the wonderful power of God that spoke to hearts. I heard for probably a year or two when I was first saved of a man called John R. Rice, a man who had been an evangelist for many years and God had used him. There was a point when he and Billy Graham were headed actually in the same direction, and then they diverted as far as the people they were reaching. And I had the privilege to hear John R. Rice speak, and I thought, oh man, I'm going to hear a message today. And when the introductions was done and the pastor sat down and Dr. Rice took the platform and the podium, he began to talk in a really soft voice, and it was just a monotone the whole time. He just kept talking. And I sat there and I thought, this is the great John R. Rice. About 10 minutes into the message, God gripped my heart. I found out that preaching is not how bombastic you are. It's not about your personality. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work and do His business. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. How true, how true, how marvelous it is. So like the Apostle Paul, if you have infirmities, if you have reproaches, if you have persecutions or distresses, if you're excited about it, you're in the right position. Say, excited about it? Yeah, Paul said, I take pleasure in them. Why do you say that? Because he knew he had the marvelous grace of God at work in his life. He knew that in spite of what was round about him, no matter what he was going through or experiencing, he had the marvelous grace of God that would give him the strength to go through it. Who won the Super Bowl this year? I don't even know. Philadelphia Eagles. Did you know that next fall the Philadelphia Eagles are going to play the Thomas Jefferson Yellow Jacket? If they did, you would know that they had a strength that they don't have now. They can't even beat most high schools, let alone a professional team. Did I just hear some groans? What are you saying, preacher? It's in our weaknesses that God can shine forth. And by the way, if we're the strong one, we're not going to get any better. It's not going to help the Philadelphia Eagles one whit to play TJ or AL or both of them combined and Lewis Central and all the rest of them around. It won't do them one bit of good. Because it's not a persecution for them. God wants to use you. God wants you, first of all, to realize that you are a lost soul, you need Him. And secondly, God wants to use you and can use you when you quit saying, I can't, and recognize that even in your weaknesses, God can give you strength. First message I ever preached from a pulpit, I was in a little room off to the side waiting. And I had to run to the bathroom and throw up twice. And come back and be so nervous in that pulpit. But God gives strength. That's not my natural inclination. Naturally, I'm an introvert. By the Spirit of God, I can be an extrovert. God's good, amen. Where are you at? First of all, have you accepted Christ who can save your hell-deserving soul because you're sinful and you're separated from God? Are you willing to admit your weakness and cry out to a holy, righteous, strong God for His hand of salvation? Christian, do you get excited about your infirmities that you might see the marvelous grace of God at work in your life? Because that's when you need it, amen? That's not when everything's going well. We tend to forget God then. How great thou art. Amen. And we can look at all of that and we go, oh, what a great God. And by the way, did you know something? All will take away your stress. Father's Day work. Bless in our hearts. Help us, oh God, to see that through all the difficulties of life, through all the pains and the agonies, through the weaknesses that each of us experience, that we just admit them to you, recognize them, humble ourselves before you, and recognize then your marvelous grace in our lives. Lord God, move upon our hearts in these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.